Hare Krishna. Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's presentation on Vedanta Sutra. He didn't ask any questions. He just listened. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him why he didn't say anything, neither question, accept, or anything else. Mahaprabhu, did he actually understand what was saying, what he was being told? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I understand the sutras, but I cannot understand your explanations. They cover the actual meaning of the sutras, which are transparent. Then Mahaprabhu explained that the evidence of Shastra, the Praman, of Shastra's Pradhan, is number one. And he continued, conch shells and cow dung are nothing but the bones and stool of some living entity. But according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to Vedic principles, bones and dung are generally considered very impure. If one touches a bone or stool, he must take a bath immediately. That is the Vedic injunction. Yet the Vedas also enjoin that a conch shell, although the bone of an animal, and cow dung, although the stool of an animal, are very much sanctified. Even though such statements appear contradictory, on the basis of the Vedic version, we still accept the fact that conch shells and cow dung are pure and sanctified. Mahaprabhu continues, the Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever is stated there must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of the Vedas is immediately lost. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Out of the four main types of evidence, direct perception, hypothesis, historical reference, and the Vedas, Vedic evidence is accepted as the foremost. If we want to interpret the Vedic version, we must imagine an interpretation according to what we want to do. First of all, we set forth such an interpretation as a suggestion or hypothesis. As such, it is not actually true, and the self-evident proof is lost. So, continuing to the next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Brahma Sutra, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, that's Vedanta Sutra, is as radiant as the sun. One who tries to interpret its meaning simply covers that sunshine with a cloud. All the Vedas and literature that strictly follows the Vedic principles explain that the Supreme Brahman is the absolute truth, the greatest of all, and a feature of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The greatest of everything is Sri Krishna. The Lord states in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedas cha sarvar ahameva vidya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:11, it is said that the absolute truth is understood in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti, Paramatmekti, Bhagavan iti sabyate. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the last word in understanding the absolute truth, Brahman. Actually, Mahaprabhu continues, the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences. You are trying to explain him as impersonal and formless. Wherever there is an impersonal description in the Vedas mean to establish that everything belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental and free of mundane characteristics. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are many impersonal statements about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is stated in the Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.19. Although the Supreme Lord is described as having no legs and hands, he nonetheless accepts all sacrificial offerings. He has no eyes, and yet he sees everything. He has no ears, yet he hears everything. When it is stated that the Supreme Lord has no hands and legs, one should not think that he is impersonal. Rather, he has no mundane hands or legs like ours. Quote, he has no eyes, yet he sees, end quote. This means that he does not have mundane, limited eyes like ours. Rather, he has such eyes that he can see past, present, and future, everywhere, in every corner of the universe, and in every corner of the heart of every living entity. Thus, the impersonal descriptions in the Vedas intend to deny mundane characteristics in the Supreme Lord. They do not intend to establish the Supreme Lord as impersonal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, whatever Vedic mantras describe the Absolute Truth impersonally only prove in the end that the Absolute Truth is a person. The Supreme Lord is understood in two features, impersonal and personal. If one considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead in both features, he can actually understand the Absolute Truth. He knows that the personal understanding is stronger because we see that everything is full of varieties. No one can see anything that is not full of varieties. Everything in the cosmic manifestation emanates from the Absolute Truth, remains in the Absolute Truth, and after annihilation, again enters the Absolute Truth. The personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are categorized in three cases, namely ablative, instrumental, and locative. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wished to become many, he glanced over the material energy. Before the creation, there were no mundane eyes or mind. Therefore, the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth's mind and eyes is confirmed. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Chandogya Upanishad 6.23, it is said, Tarakshita bahu syam prajayayi. This statement confirms the fact that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wishes to become many, the cosmic manifestation arises simply by his glancing over material energy. It may be noted that the Supreme Lord glanced over the material energy before the creation of this cosmic manifestation. Before the creation, there were no material minds or material eyes. Therefore, the mind by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead desired to create is transcendental, and the eyes with which he glanced over material nature are also transcendental. Thus, the Lord's mind, eyes, and other senses are all transcendental. Mahaprabhu continued, Brahma shabde kahi pona swayam bhagavan. Swayam bhagavan Krishna shastrera brahman. The word Brahman, Mahaprabhu said, indicates the complete supreme personality of Godhead, who is Sri Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. The confidential meaning of the Vedas is not easily understood by common men. Therefore, that meaning is supplemented by the words of the Puranas. Quote, how greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their fortune because the Absolute Truth, the source of all transcendental bliss, the eternal Supreme Brahman, has become their friend. That's from Bhagavatam 10.14.32. Mahaprabhu continues, the Vedic Apanipada mantra rejects material hands and legs, yet it states that the Lord goes very fast and accepts everything offered to him. All these mantras confirm that the Absolute Truth is personal, but the Mayavadis, throwing away the direct meaning, interpret the Absolute Truth as impersonal. Are you describing as formless that supreme personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is complete with six transcendental opulences? This is four verses from the Vishnu Purana, quoting that Purana. The supreme personality of Godhead has three primary potencies. Are you trying to prove that he has no potencies? The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastra. This is Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Chitra Gya Kya Tata Para Avidya Kama Sangyanya Tritya Shakti Lishite. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastras. There is another spiritual potency known as Chetragya, or the living entity. The third potency, which is known as Nescience, makes the living entity godless and fills him with fruit of activity. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, in Krishna's discourse on the Chetra and Chetragya, it is clearly stated that the Chetragya is the living entity who knows his field of activities. The living entity in the material world are forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This forgetfulness is called avidya, or nescience. The avidya shakti, the avidya potency of the material world, provokes fruit of activities. Although this avidya shakti, material energy or nescience, is also an energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is especially intended to keep the living entities in a state of forgetfulness. This is due to their rebellious attitude towards the Lord. Thus, although the living entities are constitutionally spiritual, they come under the influence of the potency of nescience. How this happens is described in the following verse. O King, the Chetragya Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya nescience potency, which covers his constitutional position. This living entity, covered by the influence of nescience, exists in different forms in the material condition. O King, he is thus proportionately freed from the influence of material energy to a greater or lesser degree. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha. That means that he originally has three potencies, the pleasure potency, the potency of eternality, and the potency of knowledge. Together, these are called chit potency, and they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. This is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is not under the influence of the material energy or its modes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in its original form, is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The spiritual potency in these three portions, Sachid and Ananda, assumes three different forms. The three portions of the spiritual potency are called Ladini, the bliss portion, Sandini, the eternity portion, and Samvit, the knowledge portion. We accept knowledge of these as full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears in three phases, internal, marginal, and external. These are all engaged in his devotional service in love. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. We shall read and end our reading for today. The spiritual potency of the Lord is manifested in three phases: the internal or spiritual potency, the marginal potency, which consists of the living entities, and the external potency, known as Maya Shakti. We must understand that at each of these three phases, the original spiritual potency of pleasure, eternity, and knowledge remain intact. When the potencies of spiritual pleasure and knowledge are both bestowed upon the conditioned souls can escape the clutches of the external potency, Maya, which acts as a cover, obscuring one's spiritual identity. When freed, the living entity awakens to Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service with love and affection. So we shall end here this philosophical discourse where Mahaprabhu was explaining Vedanta to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and we shall continue very soon, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.